This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. With Keith. It's the Dort Podcast. It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Razzle Von Dazzle. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I feel great. I had a nice little relaxing weekend. Got away with the fam for a little bit. Got to the beach. Didn't get sunburned.
Ooh. Took so a little bit away from the devil's itch this week?
Yeah, took a little bit of razzing for having a chair with an umbrella.
No, but don't listen.
I don't know. I don't feel bad at all because I'm comfortable and I feel good.
So. Share with an umbrella, all good. Because again, I always say the same thing, Ryan. Risk, reward.
Exactly.
Reward, what? A slightly darker hue, not a big deal. The risk, devil's itch.
And you know what? I went and took a dip in the water, and one of the great things about wearing a sun shirt is it keeps you cool.
The sun shirt keeps you cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
That's
an added bonus.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. So look out for these guys.
I feel good.
And, look out for these guys.
No sunburn.
All right, Ryan. You ready for the news of the week?
Yeah, do it.
All right, let's do it. I said, let's do it.
This week in Dork.
Yeah! Good news, dare I say great news, Ryan. That is that Courtney Cox will be back as Gail Weathers in the Scream relaunch. Now, before you get too excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited, obviously.
I'm curious what a relaunch means. Is it a reboot? Is it a relaunch? Is it strictly Scream 5? They're a little vague on it.
That's what I was going to ask you when you were telling me about this, and I saw it on Twitter. Like, what is a relaunch?
So a relaunch,
it's not a reboot.
I don't know the answer completely. I think a relaunch I like better than a reboot. A reboot sounds like it's got nothing to do with the original Woodsboro crew, but it's like, right, hey, it's Scream, and this is what we're doing. That's what that feels like. Whereas if she's playing the same character, it has to be a shared universe.
Unless it's like they have Sydney, but it's not, what's her name? It's not
Neve Campbell. No, I think she's going to be in it. I think Neve Campbell's in it. I think David Arquette is in it.
What the hell else is he doing?
He's got wrestling going on. Remember when he was wrestling?
Oh my god,
the guy takes chances though. You got to give him that. He takes chances.
Speaking of risk reward, eight-legged freaks.
They can't all be winners, right? They can't all be winners.
Ready to Rumble, was that the other one? The wrestling movie.
And then he was at one point the WCW champion.
Yeah,
they gave him the belt at the very end of WCW. But I think maybe what they mean also by a relaunch is they're going to bring back all the old characters with sort of like, this is a final farewell. Whether they live or die, the next batch of Scream movies will center around somebody new. And it won't be Sydney Prescott. That's kind of my guess.
That's your guess? So you think Sydney's going to go? Or maybe Sydney is the killer this time. Maybe she's pushed too far over the edge.
That's too much. That's much too much.
Yeah.
No, she can't die or be the killer.
Okay.
I would be probably disappointed with both. So I'm not here for that.
Maybe it's been a love story this whole time. Maybe her and the killer finally fall in love.
Well, there are several killers, and she was in love with one of them at one point.
Right.
Billy Loomis.
I understand. Yeah.
Her bubble butt boyfriend, as the girl in the bathroom referred to him as. That's still one of the great movies of all time.
Let's take about 20-30% offer there. That's not the greatest movie of all time, or in the conversation.
I said one of the greatest movies of all time.
No, I don't think so.
Did you know there was two killers?
I did. What killed me about that, though, is they were vastly different sizes. So, like, it was...
I mean, Stu was a little bit taller, but when you're wearing
Matthew
the
Lillard's cloak... like 6'4". Like, he's a tall, lanky guy.
Skeet Ulrich isn't, like, a little guy.
I think he is.
No, I really think you're wrong on that.
Bing it.
You bing Skeet Ulrich height. Matthew Lillard, I will look up, but I think we already know.
All right, Skeet Ulrich is 6 feet.
That's pretty good.
Matthew Lillard's height. 6'4".
6'4".
Yeah.
Was he 6'4" in high school, though? Maybe he sprouted up.
I think he was a long man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find it odd that he went out with
Rose McGowan?
Rose McGowan's character.
Speaking of pale people.
And, yeah, she is. I love Rose McGowan. He also went out with Drew Barrymore's character. That was sort of that's why he was sort of a suspect. They referenced that they dated, and he said for 2 seconds. In the movie.
Okay.
Not in real life.
I was like, what? Really?
See, that's the thing is the movie's going to make you think. There's a lot to think about in the movie.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Drew Barrymore was like 40 playing a high school kid.
I love it very much. She didn't play a high school kid for long.
No, she didn't. For about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think Scream 5, though, I'm fascinated to see what the rest of the cast will be like and where they kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. Because Scream 4 was like over the top, like meta. It was like, the killer is like recording himself doing the kill. And it was like, okay, like now we're
The one with like Hayden Panettiere. Yeah.
And Macaulay Culkin's brother and Kieran. Emma Roberts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, the Emmy nominations came out since our last episode. How about this? I thought I'm like, oh, well, maybe like the show didn't come out when like it wouldn't have qualified. But the show itself, Better Call Saul, which we did a whole episode on. Great, great show, great season.
Fucking great.
The show got nominated, but Rhea Seehorn, who plays Kim Wexler,
who was by far one of the best characters. Incredible. Like, yeah, she's the best character in the show.
Or, you know, Saul, Bob Odenkirk. Neither got nominated for acting. And normally I wouldn't really care, but every once in a while there's a time like this. Like, when Carrie Coon didn't get nominated for The Leftovers, I was like, what's the point of even doing that? And it's the same thing with Rhea Seehorn. It's like, you're recognizing the show. So clearly you watch the show. Clearly
you think the show's good.
You think the show's good. Her acting was off the charts.
Off the charts.
I don't get it. The
one thing I am excited about is Schitt's Creek is getting a lot of love, mm-hmm. which is great. I thought that was really good for that show to finally get some recognition. And how about like Watchmen getting like 30 Emmy nominations?
Watchmen getting the recognition
deserves them all.
Yeah, Watchmen got a ton. Like Better Call Saul got some, but again, not the acting, which was really weird. Was it Stranger Things got some that kind of was a little bit surprised because I didn't think it was their best season, but I liked it. But
it was fine.
It was fun.
And El Camino got nominated for best TV movie.
I didn't love it as much as you did.
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as you did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go hard L there.
No, yeah.
Ryan, here's a show that'll probably be nominated for an Emmy next year.
Mm-hmm.
That is Muppets Now.
Yeah.
It's available on Disney Plus right now. They're doing, unlike Netflix, Disney Plus, well, if you're watching The Mandalorian, you know they're doing one episode at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first episode. Fine.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything with the Muppets, so I'm not the best guy to grade it. But Alan Sepinwall, who's like the TV critic for the Rolling Stone.
Yes.
He did like a whole write-up on Muppets Now, and I agreed with a lot of what he said. And I think he saw the whole series. I've only seen the first episode. But his point was like, obviously the original Muppet Show is like up on its own tier. Like it's never going to touch that.
No.
It's better than the Muppet Show that came back out. Remember like 5 years ago, ABC?
Yeah, they tried to reboot it. Yeah.
That was not very good. He's like, this is good. He's like, what's weird about this show is it was shot pre-quarantine, but it kind of, he's like, it feels like it was shot during the quarantine, meaning like there aren't as many characters on set as you would think, and it's kind of like spread out. And usually what he liked about the Muppets, and I agree with him, is like when you had so many of them interacting with each other, like backstage or something.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of that. So
there's like a bunch of like celebrity guests like backstage or in sketches and like all that stuff like that. That was the best part of the Muppet Show.
So this one, I thought each sketch went like a little long.
Yeah.
They have like a whole series of things. They did like a show where like Miss Piggy has her own show. There was a cooking challenge show with Swedish Chef who was like so inept. Like he didn't know how to cook. Like I didn't think he was a great cook, but like they made him out to be like he has no clue what he's doing.
He made a mess, but he knew what he was doing.
He made a mess, but he could make you a meal.
Yeah.
Not the case.
A lot of fish.
RuPaul was on this episode.
Nice.
Linda Cardellini popped in this episode. Excellent. So they had some good stuff. Gonzo had a few good lines, like as he always does.
He's a character.
But overall, like it's kind of a tough, maybe a tough sell.
Well, we'll check it out for sure. But
Ryan, another week, another pick of the pod.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley.
Can I tell you why this one hurts, Richard? And I don't mean this to be snarky. Like, I'm just going to say this. This hurts a little bit. It stings a little bit more because I thought he had been dead for years.
Ryan? No, he was alive.
He was alive.
I was going to say and well, but sadly that was not the case.
The beat us. But like the thing, what blew my mind is I was reading obituaries and like people like remembering Wilford Brimley and like the day he died. And he was only 50 years old when he filmed Cocoon.
Yeah.
He has been 85 years old for 80 years.
Forever.
Yeah.
Like, this guy forever. Yeah, I was surprised by that too. Like when they announced how old he was. So like he was younger than Regis.
Yep. Yeah. That's what's crazy. Like this guy, when I remember being like 5 or 6 years old, my parents were watching Cocoon, and he was living in a retirement home with an old folks home, and he was only 50 years old in the movie.
Yeah,
he filmed the movie.
Cocoon came out forever ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like wasn't that much younger than Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg's got to be in his 60s, right?
Guttenberg? Yeah. He had a good run. We could do, maybe next week we'll do Guttenberg movies.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. For the 200th episode, Steve Guttenberg retrospective. I like it.
Like highs and lows of Guttenberg.
Yeah.
That'll just be the episode right there. Ryan, we're going to debut something new here. Now, we don't have bells and whistles, meaning like a sounder for it just yet. I think it's going to catch on. We have a lot of people within the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse that can put things together for us better than we can.
Yeah.
This is going to be sort of, and I believe, a weekly feature. This is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes. Because Jason Rossi, who we love.
We love.
Respect. Yep. No, take it back. Who we love.
Who we love. Yep.
He is part of the Pop Culture Pile Driver podcast with Billy D. He was the former producer of Dale and Keefe.
Yep.
Big wrestling guy. He last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how he didn't understand how a draft works. He invited Davey and Mac onto his podcast.
That was his bad take that week, is how drafts operate.
You can do you can draft the same people. Not a draft anymore. Suddenly it's not a draft. Suddenly not a draft.
Suddenly not a draft and just picking teams.
So this is incredible. This actually, they did an episode on their favorite athletes of all time.
Yes.
So he and Billy D went back and forth for like all the sports. So then at the end, and it was sort of like a, I don't want to say throwaway conversation, but it was like at the end, they were just, you know, kicking around some other thoughts. And I think they were talking about what some of the other podcasts were doing. And so the Change My Mind pod with Fryer and Wesley, they were debating Spider-Man 1 or Spider-Man 2 from the Sam Raimi trilogy, which was better, 1 or 2. And they had a debate on it and whatever. You can choose whatever movie you like. Jason Rossi has the audacity to say, well, Spider-Man 1, and it's not close. Spider-Man 2, and I'm paraphrasing now, he says, sucks. The villain sucked, and there was only one good scene.
What scene? And it was so funny because he was like, it's the train scene is like the best scene. No, it isn't.
One of the worst, actually, mate. It's a very good movie. That scene I didn't really love. I thought that scene was overrated.
And what an amazing job Alfred Molina did as Dr. Otto Octavius. And what a great message that movie had, and just kind of like an overall theme of like which way Peter Parker could have gone. You know what I mean? And like Dr. Octopus to me is one of the better Spider-Man villains. I think he has the best rogues gallery out of any Marvel character.
Yep, he does.
And that's one of the better ones, played by Molina, who nailed it.
Doc Ock is probably, I would say the Vulture might be number one. That of the Spider-Man movies that we have seen, there's now like 6 or 8 of them. I would say Doc Ock's probably the second best.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was the best. And if you
count Spider-Verse, then Kingpin is probably the best.
Yeah, he was good too. But if you take pre-MCU comic book movies, Spider-Man 2 is right up at the top.
One or two. If you put, you could put that up there with The Dark Knight with me. I'm dead serious.
I know. Yeah. So you like it more than I do. You're more of a Spider-Man guy. But that, so that part was an outrageous take. That alone could have been the horrible take. But then he takes it one step further. Did our friend Jason Rossi, as he says, he went on to say, that's why I hate trilogies. The second movie is just an movie. And it's just kind of, we know what's going to happen and just get to the finale. To which I drove off the road, Ryan. I drove off the road, ruined my vehicle.
You can say every trilogy, usually the second movie is one of the stronger ones.
Empire Strikes Back is one of my favorite movies of all time. Yep. That was the second in a, at that time, trilogy. And that movie was incredible. That was the best of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know
Star Wars movie to this day.
It's still the best Star Wars movie. Great point. Mm-hmm. Still the best Star Wars movie. Now, you had just mentioned The Dark Knight.
Yep.
Did you think the Nolan trilogy was a good trilogy of films?
Solid.
I thought it was, it kind of, you know what, kind of ended poorly. I think the third in a trilogy can often be the letdown because you're so excited. You know, the first one builds it up. The second one is usually the best, actually. And then the third one doesn't live up to how good the first two were, like in the case of that one.
Or The Matrix, for instance.
The Matrix, the third one was the worst one?
By far the worst. I would say the first one was the best, the second one was pretty good, and the third one was terrible.
Now, I personally prefer Godfather 1 to 2, but I think I might be in the minority there.
Yeah, you are.
If you look at that trilogy, most people would say Godfather 2 is the best. But Rossi would say, eh, I hate the second one, let me just watch the third one.
Or, what's another one I thought of? Two Towers. I just mentioned the chat. Two Towers is the best Lord of the Rings movie. Not even close.
So, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and... The Dark Knight trilogy, three of the greatest, like, most important hashtag dork movies. And he's like, the second movie stinks in a trilogy. That's reckless. Because people heard that. People And maybe for a second, they thought that could be true. But it's not.
That is an asinine thing to say.
You know what it is? It's a Rossi take.
It's a Rossi take.
That's the only way to describe it. It's a Rossi take. It's a Rossi take. The same guy who thought both of you could draft things. You could draft the same team that I could draft. So fantasy football in another month, Davey. You draft Mike Evans. I am also going to take Mike Evans.
Yep. And guess then when what? You take not Lamar Jackson, I can have him too because he's still available. Doesn't make any sense. Where's the competition? Temple of Doom kicks ass. I think Raiders is better, but... Temple of Doom is pretty cool. And there were four. There were four.
I mean, you can even make
not a trilogy, but
like some people like, I mean, it's not really, it's sort of a trilogy, but like Winter Soldier was the best of the Captain America trilogy.
By far. By far. So there was three Captain America movies. There's First Avenger, Winter Soldier, Civil War.
Fuck, another good one. Ryan in the chat. The original X-Men trilogy. X2
is the shit. It's the
Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Dude, there are so many examples of him being wrong, including the Spider-Man one that he was talking about.
If people ask, not objectively, not subjectively, if you ask people who have watched a certain amount of movies, what is the best, name me five top best movies of all time. The Godfather 2 is in that conversation.
Yeah, it is. And so, hey, honestly, so is The Dark Knight.
And so is Empire Strikes Back. So, like, you're dead wrong. There's opinions. Yeah. And there's being wrong.
This was wrong. And I just, I feel like it's reckless. And he's a part of the hashtag dork shared gooniverse.
Sure.
So, listen,
represent all of us.
I don't want everybody to have the same opinion, Ryan. That's dangerous, too.
That is dangerous, too.
That can lead to some really dark places. But check out world history. But. You gotta be kind of correct with certain things.
Let me step into your territory a little bit. The dork shared gooniverse right now is in the bubble, and Rossi just went out for wings at a strip club.
Correct. He is
putting us all in danger.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what
I mean? Now he's bringing that nonsense back in here.
Yeah.
And then someone's saying, "Oh, didn't they say on the? Didn't they say which? What was it, dork or was it Mac and Goo?" You're like, no. It was the pop culture pile driver.
Exactly.
They need to start putting what would you call it at the end of the beginning of their credits?
A disclaimer.
Yeah. That all opinions are not shared by those on the rest of the universe.
Jason Rossi has to start his podcast by saying my opinions are my own and in no way reflect that of the dork shared universe. he has to say that out loud every
episode. Podcast. And you can't record it and just play that one over. He needs to do it fresh every time because that was
bad. Now I know you have a problem with Spider-Man 2 because of all the unmasking.
I did, and there's I even at the time, I remember, which I hear you. I remember being in college, being like, "Put your fucking mask on," and that's why I laughed even harder because. Just to show you how different Rossi and I are opinions wise, because he was like, "Oh yeah, the best scene was when he took his mask off."
That was the
like,
worst scene.
That like, was the I worst fucking scene. Hated that scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah, brutal. Rossi's also the same guy that thought Thor 1 was better than Ragnarok, and that Endgame wasn't good. Same guy. Same guy.
All right, Billy's got to figure something out here. Thankfully, get control of your boy, Billy.
Thankfully, Billy D's a stand-up guy, and we like having him in the universe.
Mad Max. So Mad Max 2 is like Mad Max. There was the Road Warrior and then Mad Max. Mad Max is the shit. Road Warrior is okay. Mad Max is awesome.
I mean,
also, Lethal Weapon 2.
Lethal Weapon 2. I mean, it's just so stupid. Like, I knew you were gonna have a problem with the Spider-Man 2 take.
I didn't say anything. You know, like when I'm like,
yeah,
when I say nothing, it's not when I like freak out and start screaming at people. It's when I say nothing. That's when I have an issue with.
Something. That's when you had a real problem, and I was like, I'm like, yeah, that's a problem.
But I didn't even weigh in. I
was like, bigger issue is his throwaway line on trilogies.
It's
like, holy shit, we forgot about T2. T2.
Like it's yeah. I mean, there's been like 8 Terminator movies now, but
I know. But at one point, it was a trilogy.
Yeah. Anyway. Goddamn ridiculous.
Anyway, you got anything else that you want to add on to this freaking horrible?
No, I want to never want to talk about this again. Never again.
All right. Well, that's a
as
promise.
As long as we're all agreeing that Rossi's wrong, it's indefensible. It is indefensible to say something like that.
No.
Not only that Spider-Man 2 is worse than Spider-Man 1. But that the second movie in a trilogy ruins it, that's irresponsible.
And it's like always the worst one. It's like a throw. I think I want to say, I should have got the audio. I want to say he said it was a throwaway movie.
It's irresponsible.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
Do your homework.
It's dangerous.
Do your homework. Figure out how drafts work and watch a movie or two.
Watch 2 trilogies and you'll know that does not hold up at all. Yeah. So. Thankfully, they do a podcast once a week, so we'll easily be able to do this segment once a week. That's kind of how. He's also the guy. We did a Seinfeld episode draft on Mac and Goo, and he took the finale. It's not like we had to take every episode. We each took like 10 or whatever it was. Anyway, Ryan, I think that's all I got. Let's get to your stuff.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan. Obviously, this is a video game topic du jour. But as far as the news and notes of this week, what do you got?
So I got. It's going to be a little PlayStation heavy this week because they're coming out with a bunch of stuff. So there's highs and lows with PlayStation. They're having their new State of Play on Thursday. So anything you want to learn about the PlayStation 5, you can do that. I believe it's at 1 o'clock Pacific time, so 4 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday, which is going to be very exciting. And because of the Xbox did their reveals of games. PlayStation kind of saw what went wrong with that and the dangers of saying in-game engine versus like gameplay. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be any games. So what you're going to get is probably some price points, I'm guessing. More technical information and some. So here's another low point. So the technical information that we got today is I don't understand why people have a problem with this, but the PlayStation 4 controller will work with the PlayStation 5, but not for PlayStation 5 games. So you have to have the PlayStation. So you can use the PlayStation 5 controller for everything.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
If you want to keep your old DualShock 4, you can, but it only works with 4 backwards. That makes sense because they're developing games specifically for the controller. But people had a problem with this. I don't understand what the problem is.
I'm okay.
The fact that it works at all,
right?
Is great. You know, so you just have a backup controller if you want to play your old games. Right. You can use a DualShock 4. Whatever, doesn't matter.
No problem.
Get over yourself. Right. Good PlayStation news. We found out today. It was rumored last week. Confirmed today that Spider-Man will be an exclusive playable character for PlayStation in the Avengers games, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Now, people obviously are pissed off about this, but the fact of the matter is, Spider-Man is kind of like Sony's thing. Like, Sony does have some rights to Spider-Man still. So, like, what are you going to do? But there was an interesting thing that people said. Remember when like Soul Calibur games came out and they had an exclusive character for the console it was coming out on?
Okay.
So like for you could play as Hayachi from Tekken in Soul Calibur for PlayStation.
Yoshimitsu was in it at one of them.
Yes, and you could play as Link for the Wii, and you could play as Spawn for Xbox. So they're talking about doing something like that. Mm. Like Xbox gets an exclusive character or whatever. So depending on where you are, you get to play a game that no other consoles get to play. To that end, if you have pre-ordered, which I have, the Avengers game, that beta starts this week. And I believe it's like Friday through the weekend. So Dave, you're going to be twitching some Avengers beta and giving you my thoughts on it. I had to pre-order it.
Good.
Fine. I got the digital exclusive edition, which means I also get to play it 3 days early than anybody
else.
So that's
that's
awesome.
Good. So that'll be a good thing to Twitch.
Yeah. So if you guys are looking to get the Avengers game, it's $10 more. You get a bunch of added stuff with the digital exclusive, and you also get to play it 3 days earlier than anybody else, which is great. Spider-Man exclusive. Oh, and then we got the Hawkeye reveal. So they did this. They did the War Room, and you actually got to see Hawkeye is going to be a playable character in the game. The character design's pretty awesome. It's the one they did was from the My Life as a Weapon graphic novel. So he's got the shaved head and the glass and all that stuff.
Matt Fraction who wrote that.
Yeah. So he has like the sleeveless thing. It's like purple and black. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So it's actually a cool design, and he's going to be available at launch, which is awesome. So Twitch and Amazon are giving away a ton of old SNK games. If you guys, for like Neo Geo and all that stuff, if you have a Twitch Prime account, you can go on Twitch, or if you have the Twitch app, download all these games for free. It's like $100 worth of games. Like they're older games, and they're like Metal Slug 2 and Baseball Stars 2, like all these games that pretty SNK cool. made back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, which are really cool. They're giving them all away right now if you want to go get those. There is a new Valorant agent, Killjoy. Valorant is a very hard game. A game I am terrible at.
Yeah.
But something that's you know fun to play if you're into like really hardcore shooters. I started playing a little bit of Rogue Company. I love it. It's my style. It's fast. You know, Valorant matches take anywhere like 45 minutes sometimes. Oh, wow. Yeah. Rogue Company, you're in it 10, 20 minutes. You're done.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, it's nice. Actually super cool. And it's third person, which I found I'm way better at third person than I am at first person shooters. Here's some good news for you, Richard.
Yes.
Tony Hawk Pro Skaters 1 and 2, in addition to for the soundtrack, they're having 37 new songs on the soundtrack, handpicked by Tony Hawk and people in the game, and the 18 original songs.
Yes.
With a total of, 55? 55 songs, including the 18 originals. So you get all those songs. So that's great news.
Those ones all were the best, because you were playing the game.
Yep. Cuphead is now on PlayStation. You've never played Cuphead before. It was PC and it was Switch. Now it's on PlayStation. If it's great, if you want to fucking throw your controller through the TV,
yeah, I don't
walk out of the room. Stuff. I kind of want you to play Cuphead.
I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. I don't think it's for me.
And this is also good news for everybody that NFL 2K 21 is coming out this year. So it's no more just Madden. So 2K has struck a deal with the NFL.
That's huge.
Be coming out this year. That's huge. The only thing I'm worried about, I tried to play. I'm going to say this right now. This is a bit of a hot take. This isn't a Rossi take. It's a hot take.
Okay. Yeah.
I tried playing NBA 2K. Now, I'm not the best basketball player, but I am good at sports video games. NBA 2K is like unplayable, man. Like the controls are fucking weird.
I haven't played it in two years.
It's weird. So. Like just dribbling and passing is like way more complicated than it needs to be.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I played 2K18 and it was fun. It was fine. So I don't know if they changed anything. You know what I also saw was funny is today Madden 22 was trending. Madden 22. Now Madden 21 hasn't come out yet.
Are they saying that they're not doing Madden this year?
No, they are. But the point was Madden 22, they were talking about all these things are going to add to the game and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah. But basically just like, oh, shit, we actually have competition now.
Yeah.
So my guess is Madden 21 is going to be same old.
And that's they've gotten away with it for years.
They should probably just come out with the game every 2 years.
Yes.
And do free updates.
Yes.
Like Overwatch does all the updates. Do free updates until, oh, by the way, Overwatch Summer Games.
Summer Games is coming, and we're getting back into it.
I think, yeah.
We're going to get back in. Now's the time.
Got to play again.
Now's the time.
But so that's all that. Oh, also the Dr. Joe Backcracker Call of Duty Invitational.
Invitational, which is become like a, it's not a really an invitational. It's become like a weekly thing. But you do have to be invited.
So you have to be invited.
Yeah.
It's a new format. Yep. It starts, actually, starting now on all starting these different now. Twitch yep. streams. 30 players, 10 trios.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back in it. You are teamed up with Nick Fryer and our guy Jordan.
Yep.
I am playing for the first time. Horrible at the game. I've played the game before, but I've never played in any of these tournaments before.
Go for a good float.
I'm playing with Chris Scheim and Super Bowl champion Jermaine Wiggins.
Yes.
So we are going to try to wreck some shit. We're going to play tomorrow night, by the way.
Yeah, if you, so are we. No, we're playing Thursday. So we're playing Thursday at 10. So I don't know what time you guys are playing.
I think we said today like around 8:30 probably.
Yeah, it's kind of stepping on my funk. It's my stream night. I get it, though. You guys do you. Just take all my viewership. That's fine.
Yeah. Maybe just run our stuff. I mean, we'll be done.
You'll be done. So, and lastly, I would add always that this Video Game Minute, as all Video Game Minutes, is brought to you by the great people of Wild Bill Soda. Go over to Wild Bill Soda right now. We got barbecue sauce now. Hot sauce now. We got ginger ale is back. We got lemonades. We got iced teas. It's everything. So it's they're
what
going.
Aren't they doing?
That's the thing. So it's not just Wild Bill Soda anymore. But go over to their page, check out their stuff. We're going to be doing some stuff with their sauces, their hot sauces, doing a bit of like a hot ones kind of thing that's coming up soon.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So we're going to do that pretty soon, but use the promo code Ron Von D. Check those guys out. They've been great to me. They've been great to us. So make sure you check them out again. That's wildbillsoda.com, veteran owned and operated for a great cause. And tell them I sent you. Boom.
Yes. And you know, get yourself 10% off by entering Ron Von D. And by the way, they ship it so goddamn fast.
So fast.
I got like the next day. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ron, are you ready for the topic du jour?
That's wildbillsoda.com. Use the promo code Ron Von D.
I'm so glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today it is top 10 multiplayer video games of all time.
Of all time.
It's a daunting task, but guess what? We're up for it.
We are always up to it. And the problem I had right out of the chute, Richard, I want to tell you.
A problem?
I got a problem. It's what constitutes a multiplayer game?
More than one player.
More than one player. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's kind of.
Some people would say more than two, but like that.
No, I would say more than one.
More than one. Multi. Okay. So that adds a wrinkle that many people might not have. They think multiplayer, they think FIFA, they think Overwatch.
I need 30 shooters. Guys playing together.
Yeah. It's
so
not that.
I thought it was more than one. I also, and again, this is up for your own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The way I kind of viewed it too was the game can certainly have a single player mode. The game can be fun single player, but it's always better multiplayer.
Okay.
Some of the games are only multiplayer. Right. Some of them have both, but you would just always prefer the other. And so there are certainly games where I was kind of on the fence, but I'm like, you know what? I had just as much fun playing solo. And either a story mode or some of the sports games or whatever. And I just said, I could entertain myself for hours with this game. Now, there were other games where I was like, playing with somebody is really what made it. And if I was just by myself, the game really wouldn't have been that good. And that's how I did it. And so Davey and I each came up with a top 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then I melded the list together. It's weighted. So whatever game Davey said was first or whatever game I said was first got the most points. Boom, put it all together. And we got a top 10. So we'll go 10 through 1, and before we get to 1, we'll rip off some honorable mentions, basically like the others receiving votes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's some classics that we left off and some great ones that people are going to be pissed. Or there was a certain genre of game, I think, that like we just have more experience playing. So I'm sure there's, you know, other ones that people are like, well, how come this one didn't make it? So,
and anyway, we want to pull, these are our personal favorites, maybe not like critically, but like these are the ones that when I was making my list of like, which ones did I play the most? Like, which ones did I have the most fun playing? You know,
so it's a top 10 list. And for people who have listened to our podcast for a long time, you can probably predict most of these because we've talked about them. There's been different stories. And that leads into number 10 right away, Ryan. Sure. Number 10, WrestleMania 2000.
Which, I mean, we talk about like games we've had the most fun playing. The creating your character mode. I mean, I could sit there for hours and just create a new character and have so much fun with it. But also, I mean, I think what drove this too is that the cast of characters itself in the game were so good. And it was so robust.
This was, to me, the best period of wrestling. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
This was, to me, the no-brainer. I know a lot of people like No Mercy. That's a really highly acclaimed game as well. And there's some other ones. But this one was perfectly suited for the N64, where you have the four controller plugins and you play. So even if you didn't do the create a player, which was amazing,
you could
just pick up and you're playing DX and Stone Cold and The Rock and all these different guys. You could do Royal Rumbles. You're doing tag team matches. You're doing whatever. The idea, too, that if you were in like a stable, and so we, of course, I think famously had the Party Boys.
The Party Boys.
Tyson and McParty. And so say Davey was having a singles match. My guy would also come to the ring with him and I could control him. Like shit like that was just so fucking good. And so I loved this game so much. And it was one where if I played it by myself, I'm sure I would have liked it and it would have been fine. You can still create players and you can
and
still
like a like, career mode.
There's
or
a career
like that.
Mode, which is fine. Yeah. But no, it's the multiplayer for this game that just took it to a whole nother level.
And this and what the other thing too that really stood out to me in this game is the controls were sharp and they were simple. Like the simplicity of the controls was like your special move. You do like a strong grapple with A and then you kind of wiggle the stick around. Like that's
boom.
It. You
don't have and to power bomb city.
Power bombs, choke slam, sky high choke slam for me. Yeah. That was my move. Or we did the Dudley Boys, the 3D. It was our tag team signature move. Like that was the shit.
Awesome. It was so fun. I believe that was the Party Crasher.
That was the Party Crasher. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with the Party Favor, which was a submission hold.
It was a two person submission hold. It was a camel clutch and a figure four at the same time.
Yeah. No, camel clutch and a Boston Crab.
Right. Which we actually did to people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
they're probably still laying there somewhere,
and they were pissed. Like when I would be the camel clutch end, and Rich would be the Boston crab, and
I could sink in a good crab,
and you would have a couple deep crab. You'd feel a couple cracks from somebody every now and again.
It's the lower vertebrate.
Yeah,
that's what that was. Mm-hmm. The lower vertebrate.
Yeah,
but I'd put this game up there again. There's so many different wrestling games. This one was the best. It was also not only was it the perfect time of wrestling, but I think as far as games were concerned, because as fun as some of like the Sega or like Super NES wrestling games were, it was like, it wasn't quite at that level for like the graphics and stuff.
No, but this is one of those games where multiplayer games were so much more fun when they were in the same room.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was just so easy because you remember for PlayStation, you had to get like the adapter and you had to get all this other, if you wanted more than two. Whereas N64 was just like fucking plug
set
it
up
in.
Four
guys going. Super easy. Super fun.
Yeah, man.
All right. Number nine on this list, Ryan, from the original Nintendo, Double Dragon 2.
The deuce.
This game I loved. I also, childhood memory, playing with my father, just going up, you know, the two of us.
Yeah.
You're the red guy. I'm the blue guy. Let's just go kick some street ass. Let's just go up there, pick up a pipe, throw the fucking pipe, just beat ass all the way across the board. And this one was super fun because in the days of Nintendo, for example, you know, playing Mario. All right, you go as Mario by yourself, and now it's my turn as Luigi, and then it's your turn, then it's my turn, and whatever.
Yep.
And so when Double Dragon and a game, spoiler alert, that didn't make it on, Contra was another one where you're both fighting at the same time. And that was so new then to both be on the screen at the same time and just like how important it was. And it was basically, you know, like taking the arcade home and you're sitting there and you're both playing the same game, helping each other out, beating the shit out of people. So this stood out to me as one of the great first time two people playing at the same time, rather than like what I was saying, how you had one person would watch, one person would play. This got you both in the action right away.
And what was great too is this was a port from an arcade game, and the arcade game was excellent as well. So like it expanded upon like the Double Dragon that you had seen before. Both of them start with a woman getting punched. I don't understand why they did that again. Well, that they thought that was a good idea twice, but you know, a fun game, like you said, cooler moves and just a little bit cleaner than the first one, which I thought is just a solid entry into the best multiplayer games.
These are all kind of my game heavy, just the way the voting worked out. Mm-hmm. So this next one on my list, I know I was more of a fan of than you were, but you played it as well. And coming in at number eight is Gears of War.
Yes.
I loved Gears of War. This also, not that by any means it was the first game that people played, you know, for in all different locations and like, you know, snooping up that way. But for me, I just remember spending so much time, you know, wearing the headset and just sitting there playing with my cousin, playing with our friends, and just constantly just as the game evolved. And I played Gears 2 and Gears 3. I was out by the time Gears 4 rolled around. But because we've told the story before, like we were PlayStation guys, but we ended up getting the 360 and then went and then back, to PlayStation. We both we mirrored each other there. And so at the very least, if you're going to have an Xbox, you might as well play Gears of War. Get the exclusive games there for it. Get your money's worth. Gears of War, to its credit, had a good single-player mode. Fun-ass story mode. But I never had more fun than playing the team-ups.
And what's great about it was a little bit different in that the cover system, like running to cover and like slamming up again and then vaulting over walls, it was a little bit of a wrinkle because at the time, we're going to talk about some games next where it was like, you just kind of like run and gunning. You just like, you run to a spot and whatever. And, but there had to be a little bit of team aspect to it. And this was at a time too, with the Xbox 360, that I felt that at the time, Xbox was doing way better than PlayStation, and a lot of it had to do with the ease of Xbox Live. So Xbox Live was a much better experience than PlayStation Network at the early onset. So like when we first started playing Gears of War online, it was great. It was easy. You could find your friends online. Like PlayStation was a little bit more muddy and a little bit like their subscription-based system was a little bit shittier and like was unreliable. Gears was always a good time. Like always a good time. And again, a shooting game, which now playing Rogue Company, which is another third-person team-based game, you got to talk. You got to have a plan. You got to like have and know your teammates and what they're going to do. So that was this was kind of a cool thing for me to play. And probably for my money, the best Xbox multiplayer game.
For me, it 100% was. And I thought, like the graphics were cool, but there was enough.
I take it back. I said something stupid. I got another one. Yeah, I got another one. Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was. And then this also, I remember just like they would add, you know, maps to it. Like that was one of those things. I remember playing and be like, oh, fucking like one guy in our group hasn't downloaded the new maps yet. So like, yeah, he can't fucking play. Like, get out, go download the maps, come back, and then you can play. And
that
like,
still happens.
Oh, yeah. No, it happens. Definitely does.
Updates and everything. Make sure, by the way, boys and girls, when you're playing Modern Warfare this week, make sure you update before you play. So.
Ooh,
big update coming. I forgot to mention that in the video game.
Oh, big call.
Yeah.
All right. I'll probably turn it on tonight then and do that. So anyway, like you could, I put Gears of War, the first one on there, but I mean, 2 and 3 were all good and there was, you know, slight improvements on them, but I'm going to go with that one.
So coming in at number 7, speaking of Call of Duty, we are going to go with at number 7, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Now for my money, the best Call of Duty game made. That's Modern Warfare 2. And I like you get, was it 30 kills in a row? You get a tactical nuke. You can just end the game, which is just, it was like the pin it. Like once you did that, like that was the ultimate in like F you to like the other team. Like I'm that good where I can get like 30 or 20. It was like 25 or 30 kills and you get a tactical nuke. You just end the game.
It's over.
Game's over. Yeah. Like, and so like the best maps, the best, it was fast. It was, I think this is when they introduced hardcore mode, I think. And like classic game. And
what did you play that for?
This was Xbox as well.
Okay.
So,
I think I tried to dabble in this after Gears or in between two years and I wasn't nearly as good at it, but
no, but I mean,
no, but it was cool. I mean, it's a good game.
And it's not a sim. Like Battlefield was a little bit of a sim where it had like the bullet drop and you had to pay attention to wind and like all this was just straight arcade shooter. Bullets don't drop and they travel, you know, super fast. Like you could hit someone across the map with any gun. And that kind of style game, this kind of set the precedent for like the rest of, you know, the Call of Duty series. And someone just mentioned in the chat right now, I have never experienced toxicity like I have in a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 lobby. Terrible. I have never been called racial and homophobic slurs by children more than I did playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And I think I was like in my early 20s at the time when this came out. So not great.
No,
not great. But while playing the game, super, super fun, super fast, super looked really good for the time. and just a super clean, awesome game. And I think it was Infinity Ward did this one. So it was a awesome stuff from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Now, you can press on to number six.
Yes.
Number six, probably the game, if you would say the best multiplayer game for me, which I'm the best at, I would have to go with this number six right here. Street Fighter II Champion Edition. I have played this game more than any game I have ever played in my life. I still play it a couple times a month from time to time just to stay sharp.
Just in case.
You never know if someone's like, so it's funny story. So I teach, we do this thing where at the school I work is called intercession. So there's like a 2-week period where like teachers can propose and teach a class anything they want. And okay. So like you can propose it. It goes to like a committee. They approve it. So the class I've been teaching for the past 4 years is the history and business of video games. So what we do is I bring in all my old consoles. We set them up. One of the first things we do with kids is be like, all right, you guys can play Nintendo if you can get it to work. And that's always a fun thing to do. But we have some really cool speakers come in and talk to the kids. And it's very educational. And
yeah.
It's very sweet. But one of the things we do, it always winds up happening, is I tell the kids, we play Street Fighter. And I tell them the story that like this, I've played this game more than whatever. And the kids will inevitably challenge me. And they're like, oh, who are you going to pick? And I said, you pick. You pick who I play with. And they're like, ooh. And yeah. I like,
yeah.
I stop usually at when I get done with all the characters, I stop. And I don't lose.
What character ever. Are you the best with?
Either Ryu and Ken are kind of the same in those games. Yeah. But yeah, I also do, I would say Zangief is the hardest to play with.
Okay.
But because his special moves are once I break up Dalsim, though, kids think I'm cheating. I'm like, that's like, you could pick that guy too. Like, and you just got to know how to beat him.
A good reach.
Like, your arms stretch. Like, yeah but he's super slow. So if you get in tight, like, it doesn't matter. They're like,
and he's got a little head. You
know, he's got a tiny little head. Fire, Yoga Flame.
Yeah.
And I found that they also think that I'm really good with Bison because the Champion Edition, you can play as all the bosses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's Bison cool. is just super OP. So if you like try to play against kids, it's pretty unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's their first fighting game on the list is Street Fighter 2. I fucking love this game. Love it. And I remember this being like the first game like I was really good at, and two, I really loved. Is you know, like Mike Tyson's punch up. Like this one for sure.
Yeah, interesting.
And again, a game you could play by yourself and it's like, but it's way better playing with other people.
Right, and that segues nicely into number five, Ryan. And this one, everything you said about Street Fighter 2 is how I feel about number five on our list, and that would be Tekken 3.
Well, that doesn't really make sense because I'm better than you at Tekken 3. Like, this isn't a game like you're best at. Like,
you're not.
But I'm like better than you, so it doesn't.
That's not true. I'd love to play it again if we could somehow rig up a Tekken 3 because Tekken 3 was perfect. And I was a big Tekken 2 fan. I loved Tekken 2. And I remember going to when we first went to St. Paul's, my like freshman year. And kids were playing Tekken 2 in the dorm. Somebody had a PlayStation 1 and was playing Tekken 2. And I immediately kind of like, you know, got my way in there and was doing pretty well. And I think I used Law a lot in Tekken 2. Mm-hmm. Tekken 3 rolls around. They expand the characters. The graphics are a little bit better. The combos are better.
The moveset is super, super intense. It's like a library for every person.
Super smooth. Yeah, it's one of those games that is like as tough as you want the game to be. There's like characters for you. Like our buddy Shark would play as King, and he would do like the 20 hold
once he got you
chain
you
throw thing, which was insane. Davey obviously used Eddie Gordo, who was new to the game that year. Huarang, who was very good. I used Lei and Law, but Gon, who is only in Tekken 3. He's a fucking character from some show.
An anime show.
Yeah. And Gon is so good. He's looked at as a joke character, and everybody in our dorm was picking different characters, and we're all like going after each other because especially when somebody is really good at a character, you really shouldn't use that character. You're like, you don't want to be the third best Paul Phoenix in the dorm.
No.
You want to fucking be your guy and be the best at it. So I'm like, this little dinosaur, like, because people would use him and they just like the little punch, and you're like, nope, that ain't it. It's peck, peck, peck. Spin, tail spin, uppercut with a fireball.
I knew, and even if you knew it was coming, it's like blocking low has always been hard for me in video games. Yeah. So like, you knew like boom, boom, like jab, jab, spin. I'm like, once the spin got, you got one spin, I was like, fuck. Cause then like half your power's gone.
Cause he's like a joke character, but like you can be good with him. And he has a fireball, which is unblockable, and a fart, which was unblockable.
True. And you fart. And you would like, the fart was like a shield. Like you would run into, you would run into it and you would, your character would just immediately fall backwards. It was like a stun move.
It would fall backward. Like, and then that would immediately lead you right back into peck, peck, peck. And the peck took so much damage for some reason.
The peck and the uppercut was like the third of your health was gone.
And he landed
a full combo.
He was difficult to kill. And people tried figuring out either Eddie, because he had all the low kicks.
So that's what.
Or
I learned how to play Eddie Gordo just so I could beat your Gon.
You could fight off a Gon. And True Ogre wasn't bad because he had the low kick combo also.
Yes. And I would say, who's it? Brian Fury had a great low kick combo.
Fury was pretty good in the game. So then I would play as Lei, but admittedly, I was not the best Lei because the kid, our buddy Billy, who transferred. So he wasn't there sophomore year when we played like an insane amount. But freshman year, he was there. And one time, true story, he brought his PlayStation to a dorm, the one near the cafeteria north.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring it. Somebody was playing it. Somebody was playing Tekken.
Not his dorm.
He walked in, saw they were playing Tekken. He had what we still refer to as the Billy Wicker combo, which I sort of stole as my own. It's the highest form of flattery, but I stole that as my own. And I was like, I was an above average Lei Wulong.
You were.
And he sat there and... No joke, he's playing. I knew he wasn't going to get a controller. He was just playing different kids in the dorm and like just playing them and leaving. I went to go get lunch. I came back. He won, was it 100 straight games? I think it was 100 in a row won against these guys. Now, they weren't necessarily great.
They weren't great.
You could fucking get a win, couldn't you?
By accident. Like I could trip and fall and get a win, you know? But
and Billy was probably the second best player in the dorm because the best player.
Oh, God damn it.
Charles Lee, the general. Didn't say much. He was very quiet when he played. Quiet. He was really good with Paul. He was really good with True Ogre. And he had a good king.
Mm-hmm.
And he. Now, my claim to fame is when I did the. Spin uppercut fire with Gon. He gasped. He didn't say much. He was very quiet.
Yes.
He'd never seen the move before. We thought this kid knew everything about Tekken. And we had a big... So we had two different dorms that everybody played Tekken in. And we had a huge Tekken tournament. And because you remember, they could do Tekken team. And what would happen is you could go up to six players and then say... You know, my guy is fighting Davey's guy, and I win, but Davey takes a ton of my health away. So now I fight the next guy on Davey's team, but I'm really low in health. And then so you do it like it's like a relay race type of thing. And so our dorm played their dorm, and we fucking lost to them. And
was like, you and I played well. I think we took out a person and then some. And then we got like to the back of the order, and someone... just shit their britches.
No, we
like,
had...
We got to the general, and he took out three guys.
Yeah, it was awful, because we had six... We had six guys on the team, and so it was your Eddie, it was Sharks King, who was also good.
Yep.
It was my Gon, and then we had three other guys who just were...
They were there to have fun. We were not there to have fun. We were not. Like, we were there, we were ready to play, and they were not.
Did we wear suits? We did something when we went.
It was like sunglasses and hooded sweatshirts, like up. You know, like we were like there was a uniform. I remember there being a uniform,
and I remember we brought our own controller because they went to like hand us their like the player two controller, and we're like, no.
I knew I knew we were fucked when, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anybody do this. So the general sat down, and he remapped the buttons. Remember, he remapped all of King's throws to like. The top triggers, not the actual buttons. I'm like, we are fucked now.
Yeah, I'm like, I knew he was good, but I underestimated the rest of the. They had some other good guys on their team.
Yeah.
Did the French kid play as Dr. B, or was that the year before? Maybe
that was the year before.
Okay,
that was the year before.
He played as we had a French exchange student. He played as Dr. Boskanovich, and it was not very good. He just lay on the ground.
No.
But anyway, that's my story, and that's one of those ones where, again, like you can play by yourself and it's fun, but then like to actually play in that set. Remember, we trained for that goddamn tournament.
We trained, and we would
make everybody play.
make everyone play us, like different people, like use
who
this
was
character.
It was fucking, who did Wilson use? Because I think he screwed us.
Paul.
And then he was not a good Paul. And then was it Noon used Yoshimitsu, and he was very hit or miss.
Very hit or miss. Like if he got you, he was good. If you got him for landed the first hit, he never blocked. So
we lost. I think we lost like it was the best of seven series, and we lost in like five.
Lost
six.
I think it was five. We lost in five. Terrible. It was brutal. It was brutal. The greatest shame ever. Greatest shame ever.
It was.
We were prepared.
We did our work. All right. That's long enough on number five.
So speaking of being prepared, I misspoke earlier and said that Gears of War was the best Xbox exclusive multiplayer game. I was dead wrong with that. So at number four, we're going to go with Halo 2. A game, again, where I played constantly. And I think right out of college, I was still playing this game, like Xbox Live. I was working. I was single. I was working. And I was like, come home from work, get my work done, get my grading done, and just play Halo all night. Yeah. And so much fun. Speaking of like our arcade shooters, like they had the sticky grenades. They had you could dual wield. Like this game was so fucking fun. The battle rifle, sniper rifle, like all the cool maps. Like this was the first, like it wasn't really a battle royale, but it was like big. Like it was a big multiplayer experience. Like they had some maps where it was like 8-on-8, and there were different game modes. I remember playing SWAT, which was just pistols, battle rifles, and assault rifles. That's it. And there was like no armor.
Okay.
So it was like quick killing stuff. And I got so good at this game, I thought, until I played a kid. So I was working at a school, and this kid was a pro. He was a pro Halo player, and I was playing with him, and I was like, I am nowhere near. This is where I knew that like I was never going to be like a professional gamer. Yeah. Because of how good this kid was.
Oh, it's next level. It's pretty humbling because, like, you'll definitely play against your friends or whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm pretty good. And then you're like, wait a minute. Like, but that happened to me in Madden and in NCAA football. I thought I was really good at both. And then I was like, oh, shit, never mind.
And this kid, so he was sponsored by, like, whoever. It didn't matter. But, like, he, like, throwing the plasma grenades that you could, like, stick to people. Mm. Every time he threw one, he'd hit me. He would never miss. And he was the first person I saw. You could do this thing in Halo where you click the stick and you would like crouch, but you could do it while in the air. And you would like, he would jump and like knuckleball. God. Like he would like, it was like so hard to hit in the air. Like usually I'd be like dead on, but he would like, just move just a little bit. And I learned so much by playing with him, but like I knew right then and there that like this, people are on a different level. And I'm not on that level, but
no, I know.
Such a fun game regardless. And again, a great campaign, but really the star of the show for Halo 2 was the multiplayer for sure. Like And this, I think you had already gone back to PlayStation at this point. Like you had gone back to PlayStation 3.
No,
I remember playing a lot of Halo.
No, I didn't play a lot of Halo. I had 360. And so the only thing like we played hours and hours and hours of Gears of War in the same group. Again, it was mainly my cousin and his friends, and we played forever. And the thing that stopped us was Halo. And so they're like, oh, we're all playing Halo now. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, all right. So I got Halo. I played like a few times. Wasn't good right away like I was at Gears. So I'm like, I think I'm done.
Well, that's the other thing too, is like how good, like, this was the first time I experienced kind of a learning curve where right now, like I started playing Rainbow, like I tried to play Rainbow Six like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But everyone who plays that game is so good.
Yeah.
That it's and same with like League of Legends and Overwatch. Like some people are just really, really good and have been playing forever.
Yeah.
And just like to break through and to kind of get, and the Halo was the first time I'd experienced that.
Yeah.
But a fucking just a almost perfect multiplayer game, almost perfect.
Yeah, no, it was good. I wasn't good at it, but it's for sure good.
And I hope that they bring a little bit of that back with the new Halo. I hope they do. But just keep it fun. Like, don't try to make it too serious. Just like keep it, you know,
kind of
cartoony. You know,
yeah. All right, Ryan. Number three on our list: Mario Kart 64.
Mm-hmm.
This game was voted the greatest video game of all time in the last Dork Madness, or no, two Dork Madnesses ago.
Yeah.
I also think you can make a case that Super Mario Kart is fantastic and a great game. this is a little bit easier. The multiplayer is a little bit easier on this game. And, you know, it's the next level up. There have even been Mario Karts since this. I know the one that's on the Switch now is fun. I played it with my nephew.
It's super fun. Yeah.
But this game is just fantastic. This is just a sit down, anybody can play type of thing. There's just enough characters to keep it interesting, enough weapons to keep it interesting, enough maps to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a fun game. Like there's no other way to describe it.
It's super fun. And one of the games like Tekken, like Street Fighter, that we would use at times to settle arguments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, fine. Like you want to like, you think you're better than me, or like you were arguing about something stupid. Like, all right, let's race.
Mario Kart.
And whoever, like, you know, whoever, or like we bet, like we bet a pizza or we bet whatever. Like, you're like, all right, fine. Like if you think you're better than me, let's go. And I remember let's race right now. And you picked it, you pick it or whatever. But like, it's such a cool thing to like settle arguments this way, you know, or settle beefs. Be like, all right, let's, we'll race.
And great game. Everybody, I mean, and the characters are all like fun, you know, like you just, everybody's got their own guy or a couple guys that they use.
And there was always that person who just claimed that whoever they used was better for whatever reason.
Yeah,
like, and it was usually the Yoshi and
people.
Yoshi and Peach people.
Yoshi, like, Yoshi's the fastest character. You're like, whatever. Well, how come I can beat you with Toad?
Well, he has the most acceleration, but, you know, Toad has the best handling. I don't know if any of that's true. I don't really know, but, like, that's what people thought.
Yeah,
like,
Yoshi definitely felt a little faster or had better acceleration, but, like, I don't know. If you time the start, what does it really matter? It
doesn't matter. And if you had, like, higher top-end speed, or you're just a well-rounded racer like Mario, you know, like...
I did stay away from the big heavies, though.
I didn't like the heavies.
I never used the heavies. I never
didn't feel
used
right.
Donkey Kong or Bowser. It wasn't really my scene. Or was it Wario? No, that was later on. But, like, that's not really my scene.
No.
I would use... I was pissed... Because my Super Mario Kart character was Koopa Troopa.
Yeah.
I love Koopa Troopa. Not in Mario 64. So I was pretty much a Toad exclusive. I like Toad a lot. But anyway. All right, Ryan, want to get to number two?
Let's get to number two. So this one, adult us, post-30s us. I mean, this is a game we've logged hundreds of hours playing this game together.
Mm-hmm. This was my number one, by the way. My number one came in second. Your number one came in number one.
Yeah. So this game is Blizzard's Overwatch. Mm-hmm. A game that continues to improve. And it's been out for 4 years. And we mentioned at the video game minute that their summer games is happening again. All really cool skins. But what really sets this game apart is the roles. And again, this could be borrowed from Team Fortress 2. This could be borrowed from any other game that has role-based shooters.
Yeah.
But the team aspect of this is incredible. But I think what set it apart was that Blizzard has enough money with Warcraft and with Starcraft and with all these games that they said, we're going to come out with this game and we're not going to charge you another dime for anything.
Crazy.
We're going to keep updating it. We're going to keep giving you characters. We're going to keep giving you maps. We're going to keep giving you modes. And it's just going to, it's free.
I really do think it's the perfect multiplayer game. And they talked about all the research that they did. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make it fun. They also wanted to make it challenging. They wanted to do all these different things. And so they came up with a 6-person team. They felt like, with all their different research, was the best where one player, if you have the best player in the game, you're not automatically going to win.
Right.
If you have the worst player, you're not automatically going to lose, but you still need everybody to kind of carry their weight. Also, the different, you know, healer, attacks, support, like all that stuff, tanks, that also became super important how you play. And they even were telling you that right away. And they're like, if you're playing in a game and you have a real problem with a Bastion, here's the character, then you should switch out. And you were allowed, it's not like you were locked in for the whole game,
right?
So say you sucked and you're playing with one character, this guy sucked, switch out mid game and playing as a team, which when we did it, we would always say we would, and then we'd end up running all by ourselves, but it actually helped. Like, it wasn't just like a thing that you would say. Like, if you played as a team, you would win more than you would lose. And there's no doubt.
And there's no doubt that that's the case. And again, like, it allows you, where a game like Halo 2 or a game like Call of Duty, like, there's always going to be one loadout that's better than all. Like, so a sniper rifle and a battle rifle in Halo, or in like there's certain guns and like the newest Modern Warfare that are just better. Like they're just better than any other guns. In Overwatch, like I get to play what suits me. Like this is like my play style. And like, unfortunately, like it's the most boring. It's basically like I tank, which is like a lineman, you know, basically like I'm in front and I'm kind of leading the way, but like, it's what I'm best at. And also, that's what's going to make the team better. You know,
you can't run out of ammo. Something as simple as that is perfect. Yeah. You don't want to be running around the map looking for ammo. And so like, if you want to play just shooting a lot, but guess what? Even just shooting a lot, there's all these tanks, there's all these shields, there's all these things where like, even, even if an asshole is just shooting bullets the whole time, it's like, fine, go ahead. You're not necessarily gonna be that big of a help if that's all you're doing.
Or the one thing we found with a very toxic player that we played with one time, your hook accuracy has to be on point.
Hook accuracy. That was the name of the game. He's like, I'm a tank.
Clearly the worst player, and a random kid we were playing with was telling us that like he might have sucked and had the least amount of kills as a tank, but his hook accuracy was in the 80s.
He laughed at us and said, I'm not supposed to get any kills. I'm like, well, I don't know about any kills. Like,
that's not true at all. You grab a couple of
guys right in front of you, you shoot them. You know, yeah. It's fine.
Especially if you are hooking people that accurately.
Yeah.
They come right in front of your face. You should be able to shoot them and kill them.
But not only is it the characters and the maps, but also the different ways of playing. Like, it's not so redundant where sometimes it's just, you know, a payload. Sometimes it's like capture a point. Sometimes, like, it's great. And the fact that we could log so many hours of it is pretty proof. And the fact that I'm probably going to go back to it now.
We're going to go back to it. And what I find with this game too, now there's been some hiccups here and there with like the ranking system that I had a problem with and whatever, but like everything they've done to this game has been an improvement. It's never taken a step back. And if they did, they fixed it. Like, so like, you know, the ranking system is what it is. And, you know, I think I should be higher, but whatever. But
same. But how cool too is, you know, they have like the medals at the end of the game, so they sort of reward people, but it's for everything. So it's not just who has the most kills, like, which is like every other game.
Right.
This is sometimes it is most kills, but sometimes it is also who had the most healing, who had the most damage delivered.
The most damage, or like,
there's also what's cool is like the play of the match, and like, so at the very end, you'll sit there and watch, and if it's you, it's fucking the best, and if it's not, you're like, skip it, this one sucks, but. It's like, it's kind of cool to highlight a certain play from the entire match after every match. It's awesome.
And it, again, I mean, they take all the best things of like a MOBA, like a League of Legends or something like that, and they mix it with the fun of like a Call of Duty, and then that's the game. Like, you have different abilities, different ultimates, different things like that that you would find in a MOBA that they put in a first-person shooter, which is brilliant. It's a brilliant game, and I can't wait for Overwatch 2, which is going to have a campaign.
Which I'm excited for. That's the one thing. Yeah. Like, this is the only game I think that is only multiplayer.
Yeah.
Now I know they have a couple other little. Actually, not really. Like, it's multiplayer. Want to rip off some honorable mentions before we get to number one?
So, right, so some of the other ones
receiving votes. What do you got?
So speaking of League of Legends, I mean, that is a game. It's like watching live competitive chess with like five people. Like, it's or six people. Like, it's It's an amazing thing to watch people do well. The fun factor for me in this game, it's ultra competitive. You have to be ultra smart. You have to be really good at what you do. And it's just not as much fun as like say in Overwatch, where I absolutely respect the people who are really good at this, because it's hardcore, man. Like, this is like the most hardcore game I've ever played. And it's a buy-in. Like you said, like, if I start the game as one character, I can't switch.
Right.
And I'm locked in. So you got to be really careful. You have to be like, communicate. And it's a really super ultra competitive thing that just never really spoke to me, but still an incredible game nonetheless.
I loved Toe Jam and Earl, Planet of Funkatron, so much. So what was cool about Toe Jam and Earl too is you're playing together, right? One person's Toe Jam, the other person's Earl. But what was cool too in the early versions of the game is you'd be playing together, but it's not like you had to be on the screen at the same time. Like so Sonic and Tails, for example, you can only control Tails if you're right with Sonic.
Right.
You could break apart though. And like, so now like the map and like the camera sort of goes in different directions. And so you can go do your own thing over here, then come back and reunite together. But I remember for that generation of games for Sega, Toe Jam and Earl was just so much fun. Playing with a friend, playing by yourself kind of stunk. Playing with somebody was what made it.
So not sure what I want to mention. Grand Theft Auto 5 has a ridiculous multiplayer. For me, the multiplayer, the heists in Grand Theft Auto 5 are some of the most fun I've had But I still think the single player is better.
That's why I didn't have it on my list.
Yeah.
Only because of that. Is because if you never, ever even logged into the multiplayer, it's still one of the greatest games of all time.
Still, and there's so much to do, and you could do it for hundreds of hours. You could still play this game. Even just driving around is fun.
Right.
But I love doing the heist, but the multiplayer itself is not as good as the actual game. Mm-hmm. So that's why it would be an honorable mention, but I do want to mention it that it is actually really good.
NBA Jam.
Fucking rights, dude.
For me, was great. Like that, the sports games, I had a hard time with it because sports games are all great multiplayer, but a lot of them are all great solo too. And like, just sitting there and playing NBA Jam and trying to beat all the teams and unlock all the guys and everything else, like that's fun. But either playing with somebody or playing against somebody really does make the game.
And finding out that there was such a thing as a computer assistance really pissed me off. That's why it was off my list.
Yeah.
Like there were times where, like, if I were like the Charlotte Hornets was Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson, like unbeatable, right?
They were the best. But
I'm playing like, who was shit? The Cavaliers, where it's like, who was in the Cavaliers?
Mark Price and Brad Doherty.
And they stunk. And like somehow
they might have been good, but I understand. But I was up
30 points at the half, and then somehow they make it like a 6-point game by the end. Like back. I just stopped making shots. Like I started bricking dunks. I'm like, this is bullshit.
Right. Games were close.
But the only sports game. So again, FIFA is great.
Yeah.
Madden used to be great.
Mm-hmm.
NHL is like been consistent for me. But I want to Tiger Woods PGA Tour 04 was probably the best sports game I've ever played. Like that was so much fun. And again, you could play as a foursome. Mm-hmm. You'd only need it. You could have four controllers. You could have two controllers. It didn't matter. You would take turns.
Right.
But just a great social, slow paced game. Shime and I were talking. We're going to get the Rory McIlroy PGA golf in August.
Oh, nice.
Play that.
That's
so
cool.
If you want to get on that, like get in on that. It'd be fun. Just play some golf, man.
Just
like shoot the shit. It's low stakes and you just shoot the shit and like talk shit to people. I love playing Tiger Woods golf.
I was surprised it didn't make your list. It was on mine and I think it ended up coming in 16th overall. Was just Wii Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about putting it on the list. I did.
I didn't even have a Wii, but all my friends that did, I would always be like, can we play? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so we would just fucking bowl or play tennis. Yeah. Some of the other ones weren't as good, right? Was it like
baseball?
Like baseball kind of stunk.
You had to do is like kind of crack it like a whip, and it was like, yeah.
But I mean, between bowling and tennis, I feel like you just play those like just drunk playing those.
A lot of broken TVs.
Yeah, there is that too. There was a little bit of that, but I had that on my list.
A couple more I want to mention. So I do want to mention Super Smash Brothers.
Ultimate,
which I do have for the Switch. I play it. I'm not very good, but I love playing it, and I love playing it with my kids. They because it's easy. It's like two buttons, and they figure it out. And I let them shock me as Pikachu, and they think it's the funniest thing in the world.
Why not?
The arcade game that we didn't mention, and I say this is a bit of a tie: X-Men Arcade, Turtles Arcade.
Yeah.
And The Simpsons. Like those four.
I had X-Men and Simpsons on my list. I just left off Turtles, but all three were the go-to, whether you're at Fun Spot or Bear Right or Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. And you're like, let's go. Get over here. Let's play this.
Fun World in Nashua, New Hampshire, or Dream Machine in the Pheasant Lane Mall. Both had those. So like you would play those as well. And I have to mention one more game that people are going to like be pissed that we didn't mention, because technically it goes under the radar as a multiplayer game, but technically it's a multiplayer game, so I'll mention it, is Minecraft. And I've never played Minecraft, but it is such a huge success.
Yeah,
it is fine. It's still to this day. I mean, the people who love, there's a certain type of person who loves Minecraft.
Oh yeah, there is.
And that's like,
But so I put it at the bottom of my list, right? Just because we did have fun playing it. The idea was great. The graphics were great, but there was glitches up the yin yang. Friday the 13th.
Oh my God, what a good idea this game was.
Good multiplayer game.
Yeah,
that game would blow. If you played not knowing anybody, no fun at all. No fun.
Yeah, no fun at all. But if you played with six people who you knew, fucking blast.
And you couldn't play. I mean, technically, it's always multiplayer. It's just whether or not you know the people or not. But still, the game was cool. I remember playing like at night and then just kind of like, you know, freaking out down here and like losing my mind. But it just it had so many glitches and issues. But it was at the core of it. It was a good game.
And you just like walk and just like fall through the floor and get stuck. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You like jump through a window, get like stuck in a wall. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm stuck. I don't know where I am.
Someone did mention in the chat Rocket League. So Rocket League
Oh, yeah.
is going to be something when it becomes free. Shime and I have sworn that we are going to play Rocket League or try to play competitively. So
there you go.
I loved my nephew was super, who's 15 now, was super into Rocket League when he was like 12 and 13. And I played with him, and it is actually really, really fun. It's 3-on-3 soccer with cars in a dome.
All right.
That's all you need to know. So
that's pretty good.
Those are our honorable mentions. Should we get to the numero?
You go ahead. This was your number one. Go ahead.
This was my number one and Rich's number two. We were talking. I sent something out as a meme, and it was like, you're home. You just ordered pizza. All your friends are coming over, and you're gonna play GoldenEye. And at that point, you didn't know it then, but that was as good as your life was gonna get. And that is absolutely true. Number one with a bullet, GoldenEye 007. This game was just so fun to play with your friends. And obviously the caveat was no fucking odd job. Stop using odd job.
It's no cheating. Odd job. No odd
especially
job.
Especially like if someone wanted to play, if you knew right away, if someone's like, all right, we're going to play Slappers Only, License to Kill. And I'm looking at the kid to my left. And I'm like, you better not fucking choose odd job. If you choose odd job, we're resetting it. We're starting over. Like, don't.
Well, we even got to the point where it was no proximity mines because once a guy would die once, they knew where all the respawns were. And then you just wake up and die, wake up and die, wake up and die. So we're like, you can't, no more mines. Mm-hmm. No more mines, no odd job.
No proximity mines, no odd job. I love playing License to Kill with just pistols.
Yeah.
Like, that was my favorite way to play. It was just, or Golden Gun. Remember they had like the one golden gun? It was like you shoot someone once they die. That was so much fun. So much fun.
Was great. And that was another one too where like I had seen some of the movies and like I was aware of Bond, obviously. How could you not be?
Mm-hmm.
But at that age, it was more like you ended up learning all the characters through the video game. And then just like, then you would see the movies later on. You're like, oh yeah. So Jaws was one of the villains and Oddjob was a villain and like all this stuff. Like you got it later. Or at least
and,
I like, did.
I think I saw License to Kill was my first James Bond movie that I saw. But the first one like I actually went and saw on my own was GoldenEye. So like I remember that movie. Like, My dad was watching like some gnarly Timothy Dalton. Remember the one he had like the Lotus and it was like a submarine? Like I think it was License to Kill. I remember watching that movie and being like, this is kind of lame. But then saw GoldenEye and GoldenEye was awesome. It was like Pierce Brosnan's first turn as James Bond.
Yeah.
And like again, I still remember the maps. Like if you put me in it right now, and the thing about this game, while the graphics are kind of gnarly and they're kind of blocky, it still plays. Like the game still plays. Like you can play it right now. It's good.
Like you think about on our list, you know, N64 was where it was at. You know, you could play a lot of these games on our list on N64, and they were fantastic. Whether it's GoldenEye, you go from GoldenEye to Mario Kart, right into WrestleMania 2000. Like, what do you want?
That's all you need.
That's all you are living the dream right
That's
there.
That's a night, man. And like, there were games like that, like Time Splitters and what was the other? Perfect Dark, which were good, but like, we always found ourselves playing GoldenEye. Like at some point in the night when you were with your friends, at a certain guys like us of a certain age, you always found your way there. Yep. Always.
No doubt.
And again, another game that was like, we're going to settle a dispute right now. All right, cool. This Golden Gun and Temple. Let's go.
This is how we do it.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. Anything else on these video games? Feel free to tweet us at Dork Podcast or to email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Do you agree, disagree with the list? What did we leave off? What was your favorite multiplayer game? All of that stuff. Hit us up.
Hit us up, man. Yeah.
All right. What do you say we get to the old pick of the podcast?
Sure.
All right.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right. Would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
You go first this time.
All right. I'll go first. First thing I'm going to mention is there's a whole bunch of new stuff on the hashtag Dork, or actually the Dork Podcast T public page.
Yes.
Billy D and Goo have been working overtime with different logos and graphics. There is hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse. Looks like Team USA merch. Perfect for the summer. There's also the hashtag Dork Dad stuff. Some sweet logos there. And I would get that maybe sooner rather than later, just based on what some of the...
based on copyright stuff.
Copyrights alone. Also hashtag Dork Mom shirt.
Dork Mom.
For someone in your life right there. So... I would recommend both of those very much. I forgot what I was going to plug, so I will let you go, and then I'll try to remember it.
So I have kind of two. So I'm going to mention one thing and then give you my real pick of the pod. So I did wind up watching Palm Springs last night with Andy Samberg. It was awesome. I loved it. It was just light. It was hour and a half on the nose, Mm. Just like good. Boom, like in and out. J.K. Simmons is in it too, which is, I didn't know that. Mm. And so like, yeah, so watch Palm Springs on Hulu. All right,
cool.
It's great. It's great. And the other one, it's another Hulu pick. You would really appreciate it. So it's a story of a guy named Rick Turner or Richard Turner. He is one of the best close magicians. Close no, oh. up close magicians in the world.
Oh,
It's a documentary about him. And this is what gave me the idea. I mentioned to Rich, the next convention we go to when the smoke clears, I got to go to a magic convention. We have to.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better than magic.
So we got to go to a magic convention.
Okay.
But get this, Richard. So this guy, Rick Turner, who does this up close magic, he's won like the best up close magician in the world a couple times, I think.
Okay.
He's fucking blind.
Really?
So and he does
all the magic.
So what he does is like he's a mechanic. So like I can deal somebody at the table four aces, or I can like cut a car, like shuffle, but like not really shuffle. He does all of this stuff and he's the best in the world and he's blind.
That's incredible.
So like it's called Delt. Okay. It's on Hulu. So just one of the most incredible documentaries. Like that's like the most fascinating documentaries. Like how this guy does this, and he never really explains it, obviously, but it's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'll have to watch that. Oh, so that reminds me. My two plugs are both HBO things. Mm-hmm. One, Jojo Rabbit, now available on HBO. One
incredible of the best movie.
Movies from 2019. Mm-hmm. I think I ranked it third. You could rank it as high as one, probably as low as five, if you're being honest with yourself.
If you're being honest with you, yeah.
So
unless Jojo you're Rabbit, Rossi, you probably didn't like it.
Rossi probably hated it. That's a good call.
Or didn't get it. Yeah.
This was a pick of the podcast by you several weeks ago, but now it is over. I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah.
The documentary, Michelle McNamara's quest to catch the Golden State Killer. Michelle McNamara obviously passed away. They did finish the book. Patton Oswalt, who is her husband, and like a whole bunch of people with her, they finished the book. It's a 6-part documentary. The last episode just ran last night, so I watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, because it's really a documentary about her, Michelle McNamara, but then also it interviews so many of the victims. Because the thing with the Golden State Killer is he started out as the East Area Rapist. Mm-hmm. So there are so many of these rape survivors that speak and are on this thing. And then he turned into the original Night Stalker, where he became a murderer. And so then this talks about how they sort of pair those together and everything else. And then, not to spoil it too much, but there was an update to the case. Yeah. So you're going to want to get in on that.
And she was instrumental in that.
Big time. Oh, yeah. Without her, they don't solve that.
Yeah.
There's no way. All right. That'll do it for us. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just type in youtube.com/dorkpodcast. We stream the episodes on Monday nights. Follow Davey on Twitch, twitch.tv/rvondi. Yeah. Also, check out the Facebook group page. Just search hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse on Facebook. Get the updates and everything going on there. Next week's episode is TBD. I know we have the 200th episode on WBEI. 200th episodes.
We're trying to figure out what that is. I had an idea while we were doing this. So
okay, good. It's not going to be Monday night, so we're going to figure out the time, and we follow our Twitter and our Instagram, and we'll post when and where and all that stuff. But Ryan, that's it for us. You know what they say about wombats, though?
L7, square buttholes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.